Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Gateway Rescue Mission, meeting the physical and spiritual needs of the homeless right here in Jackson, Mississippi. Check us out at www.gatewaymission.org.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, here we go. Welcome in, everybody, on this Tuesday night. It's March 12th, and I appreciate you guys being here. It's Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. Please, if you haven't already, like the video, subscribe to the channel, all of that good stuff. We've got baseball to talk about. Ole Miss survives, and we can call it a survival, survives ULM tonight, continues their hot streak going into conference play this weekend. And I've got some thoughts on Nick Saban's meeting at Capitol Hill. We can call it that. And then we'll get to your comments as we always do. So I appreciate you guys being here. Please follow Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And if you are listening on the website at supertalk.fm, I appreciate you being here. But pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And oh, my We're Live tweet literally just went out. So hopefully more of you guys pop on in here. And I'm glad that you guys are here. So here we go. Let's talk first a little bit of baseball. Now, midweek games against Louisiana Monroe are pretty nondescript. It's just, you know, winning those games are what you're supposed to do. If you're looking for some hardcore, in-depth analysis of a Tuesday win over Louisiana Monroe, you're in the wrong place. It's what is supposed to happen, and that is just really all that we can say about it. But there is a little bit more to take away from non-conference play as a whole after this game. So Ole Miss is, what, 13-5 now? They get the win. They had 12 hits, left some guys on base today, and that's not ideal. But they capitalized when they needed to. You had Andrew Fisher kind of be the hero today. And, you know, you win a midweek game. Not all of them are going to be dominant. Winning is all that matters sometimes with these midweeks. So even though it was a tight game where they had to have some ninth inning heroics from Fisher and then Leger, both producing some RBIs to, you know, separate that lead, and Ole Miss ends up winning the game. The fact that they have righted the ship and settled down and really started playing good baseball going into conference play is confidence-inducing. And now that they've done it in multiple different ways, it should be really encouraging. This team, frankly, hadn't been tested in this kind of way a whole lot, where it was tied going into the ninth inning. And they had, again, I know it's Louisiana Monroe, but still. And they had guys step up and hit the baseball in the clutch when they needed to produce runs and win games. And so now Ole Miss is on this winning streak. Their confidence should be extremely high going into conference play. So it's not a quote-unquote good win, but it is a win, and it is a continuation of some pretty good baseball that they've been playing lately. Riley Maddux was good. Only 68 pitches through six complete, so another efficient outing for an Ole Miss starter. And so that was really the difference in the game. Trayson Hughes is starting to play really good baseball right now. He had a couple of hits, but that double off where he made a diving catch, got up and threw an absolute rocket for an out at third base. He's seeing the baseball better, had a couple of hits today. That's really, really encouraging for this team. Groff and Fisher both had a couple of hits. They're just really the top of Ole Miss's lineup right now is seeing the baseball and hitting quite well as of this moment. So it's a midweek game. It's a win. It's what matters. They enter conference play. They should enter conference play with a whole ton of confidence, and that is a really good thing. So still wait and see mode. We're going to learn a lot more about this team over the next couple of weeks, but navigating the rough start the way they have to recover, win a bunch of games in a row, do it with pitching, do it with hitting, is encouraging, no doubt, for Ole Miss. So again, not going to dive too deep into that game itself. I think you guys can understand why. But if you guys want to talk about it more, we certainly can in the comments. Second thing that I've got on the lead tonight is Nick Saban taking on Capitol Hill. And this topic requires nuance and the ability to understand that multiple things can be true at the same time. And what I have learned, especially with social media, is that people are unwilling to have multiple thoughts at the same time. So to me, college sports needs regulation. We've talked about it before. I think the transfer portal is far, far, far more in need of regulation than NIL personally. I don't think the money's the issue. I think it is the unrestricted free agency two times a year. But as we've talked about before, the courts have told the NCAA, you cannot enforce your rules, so they're going to have to get creative in some way. The conferences need to do something because I don't think Congress is going to save them, and we're not going to like what Congress is going to end up doing probably anyway. But yes, I believe that college sports needs guardrails. It needs regulation. It needs some kind of cap. It needs all of those things. That can be true, while it also be true that I believe the football and men's basketball players should receive compensation that extends beyond their scholarships, because I do not believe that the football players are of equal value to the golf team. But if a golfer is on full scholarship and the quarterback is on full scholarship, I don't think that is just. I don't think limiting the earning potential of legal adults without collectively bargaining with them, that is un-American, in my opinion, and the courts do agree with that. So I think players, at least the ones that generate the revenue, should be compensated beyond their scholarship, because the scholarships being the cap for all of them says that they are all equal. That is anti-capitalist. That is un-American, and the courts agree with me on that. That can also be true. You can have both of those thoughts and feelings at the same time. I can believe that college football is not ruined because, one, you guys watched, the ratings were excellent. Attendance went up for the second year in a row nationally, which is hard to fathom, but it did. So attendance is trending upwards. Ratings were phenomenal. Clearly, college football is not ruined. The portal and NIL have created a situation where the talent is more spread out than it's ever been. Parity is increasing, which is a good thing. And it can also be true that there are still chaotic elements of this current system that need to be adjusted. All of that can be true at the same time. Enter Nick Saban. He goes to Capitol Hill today, says a lot of really good things. I like a lot of what Nick Saban said today. If you guys didn't watch it all, I understand why not. I like a lot of what he said today. But this stood out to me when he was talking about a conversation that he had with his wife. Reading from Ross Dellinger on Twitter, Nick Saban said his wife, Terry, came to him before his retirement and told him, quote, "Why are we doing this?" She told him that players now only care about how much money they are making. That did rub me the wrong way for a couple of reasons. For one, there used to be, or still was up until the end, a clause in Nick Saban's contract that forced him, or forced Alabama, to ensure that he would be the highest paid head coach in all of college football. Nick Saban had repeatedly used his leverage for more money, which he should, by the way. He leveraged the Texas job for more money, by the way. He has multiple car dealerships. He does Aflac commercials. Nick Saban does what we all would do in his position. But to remove him out of it for a second, Nick Saban has done what I have done in my life. I have leveraged what I think, or I have used what I think was leverage to get a pay increase. That has happened before. When I was hunting for jobs fresh out of college, compensation was the first thing that I considered for every job that came to me. I ended up landing at SuperTalk because I thought that their compensation package paired with the opportunities that they would provide for me were the best. It started with compensation. Nick Saban has made decisions with financial implications only. There is one reason why you hire Jimmy Sexton to be your agent. It's because he will maximize your leverage to get you as much money as he possibly can. Mind you, Nick Saban has earned every dollar that Alabama paid him. In fact, you can argue that he's been underpaid by Alabama. That is absolutely true, 100%. I believe that I would be a hypocrite, a complete and total hypocrite, to bemoan the idea of athletes using compensation as a driving factor for their decisions when that is something that I do in my life. If SuperTalk came to me and offered me a pay cut, I wouldn't take it. If a company came to me and offered me triple my salary, I would take it. Money drives everything. It pays for everything. I've got a four-year-old that needs to eat, needs things like insurance, needs clothes, needs to live. You know what? That costs money, and all of those things are increasing an expense every single day. Daycare, my gosh, have you looked at the daycare prices? Money drives my decision-making. College football players letting money drive their decision-making are not the bad guys in this. And what frustrates me about the discourse around this, it seems like we're blaming the players for doing what we've all done before. And I don't like that. I find that deeply, deeply hypocritical. Yes, I know that it's apples to oranges. Nick Saban is a coach. He spent a long time not getting paid tens of millions of dollars, upwards of $150 million throughout his career. He had to work to get to that point. That wasn't just handed to him when he was 18. It is apples to oranges, but those are both round fruits that we eat. They are certainly comparable. Some college football players grew up in a situation that is good. They lived in a nice neighborhood with a big house, and they didn't want for anything. A lot of college football players also lived the exact opposite life, where they had poor upbringings. Said there are a lot of players that I can think of, two in particular, that played at Ole Miss, one of which had to live in his car for a period of time. Another lived in a neighborhood so rough that the sound of guns going off was just ambient sound. Another Ole Miss player that I can remember, it didn't have utilities sometimes, didn't have running water sometimes, didn't have electricity in his house sometimes. Some of these guys are fathers, like me. Some of these guys, Caden Prescott at Ole Miss, are husbands. They are not selfish. They are not greedy. And all of those other adjectives that come around this conversation because they are seeking additional compensation. We direct our anger at the wrong people. That's kind of the crux of this Nick Saban deal. I think that there are tinges of hypocrisy in his statement because he has made moves in his career at Alabama where money was the only reason and more money was the only reason why he made said move. That's it. It was a monetary decision only. Bemoaning players making monetary decisions is not something that I'm going to do because that's what I've done in my life. If you want to direct anger at people, don't direct it at the players. Don't call them selfish. They're not selfish. They're doing what you would have done. But if you wouldn't have, then turn down your next raise. They're only doing what everybody else would do in their situation. They're only doing what they're allowed to do. If you want to place blame at somebody, place it at the leaders of the sport. Place it at the feet of the NCAA. Place it at the feet of conference commissioners, including Greg Sankey. All of these people could have seen this coming. They did see it coming, and they did nothing about it. They could have gotten out ahead of this. They could have had guardrails. They could have done those things. But instead, the guy that benefited most from how things used to be became rich beyond his wildest measure while coaching football at Alabama, has a $17 million beachfront mansion and an $11 million lake house there. Outside of Tuscaloosa, two things that he did earn, by the way, as I said before. That person lecturing us about not letting money drive our decisions, to me, is hypocrisy. If I were to sit here and call a player selfish for putting money first, I would be a hypocrite because I've done that very thing. Blame the leaders of the sport for not getting out ahead of this. Don't blame the players for doing what we all do. That's my spiel. Sorry for ranting, but we'll get to your comments now. We'll talk a little bit of Ole Miss sports right now. But before we do that, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. If you are a Mississippi business and you are in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's technology, if it's in your office and you need it, Advantage Business Systems has you covered. ABSMS.com. Tell them I sent you and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me at Advantage Business Systems. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard. There's one in mine, and you can bank with me at Priority One Bank. They make you their priority with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. You don't need multiple apps to manage your money. Priority One Bank makes me their priority. Switch to them, and they will do the same for you. So let's talk some Ole Miss sports. Glad you guys are here. The SEC basketball tournament, by the way, getting underway tomorrow. Obviously, Ole Miss will not play until Thursday. I don't know exactly how interested you guys are in that, frankly, but we will certainly talk about it on Thursday, no doubt. So here we go. Tim, you're still here. Appreciate you, Tim. Glad that you are here. Ronnie, appreciate you being here. Brandon says we'll take a midweek out of conference win every week, especially on the road. And super chat as well. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. And you are absolutely spot on. That Trayson Hughes play was, man, he's got a rocket arm in the outfield. And for some reason, maybe I'm just dead wrong about this, but I have noticed that in college baseball, we really don't get guys getting gunned from the outfield very much. That is kind of like a rare phenomenon. And that play that Hughes made today, that was not, hear me, that was not special. And what I mean by that is just how good he is. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? It's a great play, but I feel like that was just a spotlight on his ability. That wasn't like, where did that come from? It's just he is that possibly that good of an outfielder. Got a rocket arm. What a great play. And Ole Miss needs him to continue to produce like he's produced the last few games. It seems like he's gotten out of this early season slump. Maybe he's calmed down a little bit, gotten a little bit more comfortable with his new team. They need him to be what he's been lately if they're going to win games, if they're going to get back into the tournament. They need him to be that, and he has been that lately. So that's a really encouraging sign. That was a really important signature that they got out of the transfer portal was Trayson Hughes. And so making plays like that was it's just another example of what they thought he would be, and if he continues that, what he'll end up being for them. Cost of living has gone through the roof. Absolutely, it has. I mean, I just what I'm not going to do, as I said a second ago, I don't think that it is right for us to blame players for doing what we do. They are legal adults, man. I mean, not all of them are freshmen, right? That most college football players that we know are in their 20s. I mean, they're adults. They're fathers. I don't know. I think that we are angry at the wrong people. What frustrates me about the people in my business is we are unwilling to question winners. We talked about this with Kim Mulkey the other day. I think that so often we are unwilling to criticize successful people, that we make excuses for people like Nick Saban because he won a lot of football games. But it must be really easy to criticize players for putting money first as you sit on your balcony of your $17 million oceanfront mansion, you know? And I don't mean to pocket watch, but I guess that is what I'm doing. He's earned that money. I understand that. But not everybody has that. A lot of these players have moms that they want to get out of bad situations, that are in debt, that have bills that they can't pay. That is a lot of these guys. Not all of them, certainly, but that is a lot of these guys. And so bemoaning that, I think, is wrong. And I understand it's chaotic. I agree it's chaotic. I agree things need to change. It's just not their fault. None of this is their fault. Blame somebody else. Anyway, you had to turn the game off. Every time you listen on the radio, bad things happen. Glad they won. Yeah, and instead of having me on the radio, you had baseball. So you were, in effect, really just doing yourself a service. So listening to baseball that stresses you out, you know, turning that off is good for you, but also not having to listen to me and hate that ramble about nothing all day is also good for your health too. So you know how it is. Something has to be wrong with the live chats. What's going on with the live chats? Is there an error? Hold on. I'll pull this up to see if I can see what's up. Unless you're just saying that there's something wrong with me and I'm struggling here, which I am today, by the way. Let's see. Let me see if I can fix anything. I'm not seeing anything on my end. If you don't mind, shoot me a DM and let me know what's going on. I'll try my best to fix it. Nice ad read. Yeah. Thank you. That's right. How do I think conference play is going to go? I mean, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Is how is conference play going to go for Ole Miss? So I am going to try my hardest, Ron, to not let – I know, look, it's a winning streak and they're playing well. Mike Bianco apparently in the postgame was very, very critical of his team's defensive effort. Here's the quote. Our fielding percentage isn't really good, but you have to keep in mind it's early and we had six errors in one game. Besides that, we've been pretty good. So not that critical, actually. Just foot and mouth syndrome right there. But still, it's they've won games against not great teams. But two things can be true at once. Here you go. Iowa's bullpen is one of the worst in the country. So the wins are High Point, Little Rock, Missouri State, two games against Iowa, Morehead State, and Louisiana Monroe. So drawing conclusions from those games might be irresponsible. It might be. However, I think it can also be true that what you're seeing is an improved, more confident baseball team. I know the competition is poor. That's why I'm still in wait-and-see mode. I think our conversation on Sunday night is going to be a lot more, not definitive, but a lot more informative. We will have gathered a lot more information. And it's just one SEC weekend. It's not the end-all, be-all either. But they are playing better. They are improved. The top of the lineup is hitting the baseball well. Trayson Hughes has come on. Even Luke Hill is contributing. He had another hit today, although it was 1-for-4. But still, so they're seeing the baseball better. They're hitting better. They're getting more efficient starts from their pitchers. Bullpen seems to be pretty good. A lot of the pathetic defense that they played early on has been alleviated to some degree. They're more confident. They're playing better. They've taken care of business. They seem more comfortable. Both of those things can be true at the same time. So how are they going to be in conference play? I don't know. Part of me still thinks that they're, you know, a 13-14 win team. I think they'll be right in that window. I reserve the right to change my mind, of course. But yeah, I think that they have shown you enough to believe that there is certainly the capability that they can find themselves back into the postseason. because you look around the SEC, and yes, it's a really difficult conference. I mean, these teams are great, but I mean, LSU is human. You know, Florida's even looked human lately. Mississippi State is certainly beatable. Kentucky is certainly beatable. There's opportunities for wins on this schedule. Now, a lot of teams are going to look at Ole Miss the same way that I just described them. But still, I think that they're a 13-14 win team as of this moment in conference play. I like what I've seen, but I've got to see it against better competition before I talk about it in any definitive way. So there you go, for whatever that may be worth to you. You listen every day on your commute home, by the way. I appreciate you, man. We had fun today, too. Talked a lot of NFL free agency. It's just pretty wild right now. The quarterback situation is truly bizarre at this point. It's approaching bizarre with Drake May apparently just falling off the face of the earth. I mean, I saw a mock draft today that had him at 11. Can you believe that? At 11. He went from possibly passing Caleb Williams for number one in the draft to falling to number 11 to Minnesota at 11. Is that really? Apparently, people think that that is happening. I don't get it. I mean, you've got Chicago, who apparently can't get rid of Justin Fields at this point. Mac Jones has been shipped out of New England. Crickets and Nola. We did sign Willie Gay today. I think that's a really good pickup, honestly. With Zach Bond being gone, that'll be an important signature, even though he's 1 year, $5 million, so pretty cheap signing. But I think that'll end up being much better than what that contract tells you it should be. But yes, I mean, Crickets and Nola, but you look around the quarterback market, it is wild right now. You've got quarterback needy teams in Minnesota, and I mean, I know Vegas gave Gardner Minshew a you can start kind of deal, competing against Aiden O'Connell, but I mean, they're in the quarterback market. Denver's in the quarterback market with Wilson being gone. Obviously, Chicago's going to draft Caleb Williams. Washington is in the quarterback market. It is this upcoming draft, the silly season ahead of it is going to be even sillier than usual with just the volume of teams that are quarterback needy and the varying degrees of how good like Daniels is versus Drake May falling, and where does Bo Nix factor in, and just there's a lot of moving parts, and it's really interesting to me. And we don't have, I mean, I know that Wilson's already ended up in one place, and you've already had Atlanta get Kirk Cousins, but so much movement is going to happen between now and the draft, and it's going to be a really fascinating quarterback draft. And frankly, I'm really looking forward to talking about it and having that, because it's interesting as hell. So, but yes, not a lot of cap room in New Orleans. I do think, I mean, Chase Young is coming in for a visit. That would be also another really good signature. But as Nick Underhill said today on his podcast that I was listening to on the way home from dinner just now, the Saints' improvement is going to have to come with Clint Kubiak. That's where it's going to have to come, through the draft and through Clint Kubiak, because there's just not, as you say, and you're right, there's just not the opportunity for a lot of money to be spent there in free agency. So anyway, I'm excited about it. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited about conference play starting in baseball too, and looking forward to talking about that with you guys as well. So I'm not saying this to incite anything from you guys, but I am going to hang it up early because it is actually my birthday today. So I am going to pour myself a glass of bourbon and put hockey on the TV and enjoy the rest of my night. So I appreciate you guys very much for being here. We'll be back on Thursday getting you one. We'll talk about the SEC tournament basketball game, if there's anything noteworthy from it. And then we'll get ready for the South Carolina series, a huge, huge series. I think it's huge because it's winnable. It's a good South Carolina team. But to get conference play started off right and keep this momentum going would go a long way for this Ole Miss team. So you guys are the best. I appreciate you very much. And we will we'll be back Thursday night, 8 o'clock, and we'll get ready for conference play for Ole Miss. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.